Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of performing multifamily maintenance during COVID-19. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran and national educator, Paul Rhodes, the National Maintenance and Safety Instructor with the National Apartment Association. Welcome, Paul.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm honored to be here.
Well, I can tell you we are in some unusual times, and as for full disclosure for our listeners, typically I would be in the studio with you being on the phone because you're in another state from where we record our show. But because of the current situation, I'm actually self-isolating and practicing those things that we're told to practice. So I'm calling it as well. So the audio may sound a little different than it normally does. But we are in unusual times, Paul, and I did get a chance to listen to a webinar that you did about a week ago. And it was so timely and so important to the multifamily industry that I had to ask you to be on to talk about it with our audience. So, performing maintenance on multifamily properties during this COVID-19 brings up a whole slew of different practices than what the teams are used to on the property. Let's jump in. Tell us a little bit about what you've been finding and what you're recommending.
Well, where this all started was here, I guess, I don't know, 3 weeks ago now or within a month ago, all of this talk began about social distancing and isolating, and instantly the business community at large began talking about working remotely and conference calls took on a new importance, and web calls and all of these social applications and things took on this great new performance. And we added social distancing to our lexicon of information. And it really struck me that a lot of our offices on site, the workers began instantly transitioning to virtual leasing and remote tours and all of these things that the office could do from a remote location. And it struck me as amazing that maintenance workers, by nature of their job, they're in the middle of it. And it's not like when a resident calls in for a clogged toilet or an air conditioning that's broken. It's not like a maintenance technician on the majority of our communities today can pull up a Zoom meeting or a Skype meeting and plunge a toilet.
Right.
As far as I'm aware, there's not an app for a plunger yet.
Well, I'm not sure there ever will be, but yes, obviously, yeah. Performing maintenance, just routine maintenance on a multifamily property has tremendous challenges during the social distancing and this pandemic. I know you have some great ideas and how to respond and so forth. Let's jump into a little bit of that. I think it all starts with knowledge and as far as from the team standpoint, knowledge of what they can and can't do. I know the CDC has some recommendations. What are you finding with that?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And the first thing is to be aware of the source of the knowledge. At NAA on our website and all of the webinars and communications I'm having with managers and owners, the everything needs to begin with who is telling us what. The CDC has some great information that they're continuing to put out and regularly update on their website. And a lot of what we discuss or have been talking about is kind of applying that information to a maintenance role. For instance, right now the CDC states that COVID-19 is not airborne, meaning that it doesn't hang out in the air, so we don't need to worry about breathing somebody else's air. The key is to actually keep the virus out of your mouth and nose and eyes, and that's because the major point of communication, in other words, the major point at which it transmits, is through moisture droplets that comes out of our mouth when we cough or sneeze or even speak, which is why the updating of the face coverings are now recommended by the CDC. And in the life of a maintenance technician, I think that's an important distinction because, you know, I've seen pictures and maintenance techs have been asking me and owners have been asking me, should I get the full Tyvek suit and the gloves to where a technician looks like he's an astronaut going into an apartment to go fix something? And I have to say, based on what the CDC says, it's not really required. Now, you know, I need to preface that by saying I'm not a health official, nor am I a doctor, nor do I even want to play one on TV. But just reading what the CDC says, that's kind of the what I take from it, that if we pay attention to what we're doing with our hands and keep our hands away from our face, washing our hands and wearing the face coverings, and really just being aware and taking, following the social distancing protocols, we should be okay.
Well, and the simple fact of the matter is that the duties, the very important duties that the maintenance techs and teams play and perform have to be done. You can't, you know, if you've got an outlet that's shorting out, it needs to be handled, you know, before a fire starts. And, people have got to be able to respond to those things. So, you know, having that knowledge that you're talking about of how to handle it is so important, but it's also important to communicate it, isn't it, to throughout your whole team?
Oh, yeah. And that communication throughout the team is needs to be repeated and specific. I was listening to a webinar this morning that basically talked about internal communication. In other words, communication amongst the management really needs to be repeated 7 times before half your team understands it or actually gets it. And what that means is we need to make sure that with our teams on site, we're regularly communicating how to do the different tasks or different things that now have become our quote unquote new normal. That, for instance, responding to a resident's call for a clogged toilet in a one-bedroom apartment. That is, and in most cases, has always been classified as an emergency. But now, with the advent of this disease, when maintenance shows up, they should, before they go in, put on gloves, put on a face covering, and then go into the apartment, do the task or you know, the job of unclogging the toilet, and then when they get finished, clean up after themselves for anything that they touched. When they leave the apartment and go back outside, safely remove the gloves, throw them away, and remove the face covering and throw it away if it is disposable. If it is able to be cleaned and recycled safely, then they do that. And each of those extra steps beyond just unclogging the toilet, that's information that we need to make sure that our staff understands. And maybe even we practice it a little bit before we go into a residence environment. I mean, this is an unprecedented situation before that I don't think anybody really thought of.
No. And I would imagine, I mean, you're the expert on this, but I would imagine that it really doesn't make a difference whether the resident is at home when the maintenance tech goes in or whether the apartment is empty. You have to follow the same procedures, I would think.
Yeah, that is correct. The key for me, at least for my peace of mind, is that it's not airborne, meaning that, yes, the CDC has some studies published that states that the virus can live on surfaces for up to 3 days. Okay, that's good knowledge to have. But that also means if I don't touch the surface, then I don't have as high of a danger or an elevated danger risk. If I do touch the surface, as long as I keep whatever touched the surface away from my eyes, mouth, and nose, away from my face, I don't have that elevated risk. The danger we have I've gone, my wife and I went to a store this past weekend. We practiced distancing ourselves away from everybody else. But in the store, I was amazed at employees were walking around and had gloves on, that the gloves were originally, they were kind of the off-white, like latex color, but the gloves were almost black with dirt and soil from how long they've had them on their hands. And it really makes you think that, you know, the job of the gloves is to keep it off of your hands so that we can keep it away from our faces. If we keep gloves on all day, it's just like having your hands without gloves.
Exactly. Well, that music means we do need to take a break. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of performing multifamily maintenance during COVID-19. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran and national educator Paul Rhodes, the national maintenance and safety instructor with the National Apartment Association. I'd like to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Paul, in the last segment, we were talking at the end of the segment about internal communications, how you communicate throughout your organization to your maintenance teams and the staff on site. What about external communications, residents and so forth? What do you recommend there?
I think we need to make sure that everybody has the same message towards our residents. And it can be something just as simple as, hey, we're here. We understand that as a resident, as our neighbors, you are home a lot more often now, typically, and that if you have a maintenance emergency, we're going to respond. Be aware that we may be coming from another apartment, and we're going to be practicing social distancing. So if you look through your peephole and see somebody wearing a mask, don't be alarmed. It's your maintenance staff that's responding to whatever emergency you have.
Right.
It also would be a good idea to let our residents know what we're considering an emergency at this time. A lot of management companies I've talked with have actually limited the types of repairs that are being made now, and letting residents know and reassuring residents that, yes, we do understand something like your towel bar is a little bit loose, and that is important for us to fix. However, it's not considered an emergency at this time. We will take care of that once this crisis, this unprecedented event is over.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And when you have a response policy, it's got to be, you know, divided up or thought of in different ways. I mean, you've got I just got a note from a property about a fire they had on a property, and that's unfortunately not an uncommon thing in the multifamily businesses when you have fires and other types of things, you know, that are weather related and so forth. What are you recommending on responses to that?
Well, the first is maybe we communicate with our residents about prevention methods. You bring up fires. It might be a good idea to remind residents that if a fire was to happen, the best way is to deal with it appropriately. You know, the most common fire on apartments now is kitchen fires. And they typically get even worse when residents do things that they shouldn't. For instance, you've got a pot on fire on the stove. If residents throw water on it, it makes it even worse. You know, remind residents that in the event of an emergency, the first thing to do is X, Y, or Z. But a part of that communication may also be dealing with specific things that we're looking at now. Meaning, you know, there is a shortage in some areas of the country of toilet paper. And mm-hmm. this may mean that residents look for alternative methods of doing what they need to do with toilet paper.
Yes.
And really, paper towels or wipes or other things should not be going down the toilet, so that communicating this with our residents can actually prevent an emergency. And, you know, the goal at this time is to prevent our maintenance staff from going into apartments to decrease the spread. That's what we're focusing on.
You know, when the webinar I listened to, like I said, last week, or I believe it was, that when you were talking about this topic, you mentioned a term that I think is so important and meaningful at this time, and because everybody's talking about social distancing, you brought up service distancing. Explain that.
Yeah, that came from a conversation with the friend of mine who was co-hosting that webinar, a guy by the name of Mark Vanderhoof. And we were talking along the lines that, you know, in our social lives, we're being called upon to distance. So it's almost like, you know, you have to yell at your best friend from across the room. But you know, maintenance technicians can't really stay away in some cases. We have to go into our residents' apartments, and depending on the situation, we end up coming into contact with surfaces that residents have coughed or sneezed on, or even if they haven't, resident hasn't done that, there's no way for the maintenance technician to be aware of what has happened. So we coined the term service distancing as a way of really thinking of a systematic approach to how to keep ourselves, our residents, and our building safer, and ultimately so that we don't take home any of the pathogens or any of the coronavirus that we can that we may pick up. Basically, it starts by thinking ahead. When a resident calls in a service request, take care of it over the phone if possible. Possibly describe how to do a task. And it may come down to like leaving a toilet plunger somewhere on the property and the resident comes by and picks it up. Or maybe we drop it off at their front door. Light bulbs, smoke detector batteries, you know, basic repairs that it might be safer in this environment for our resident to repair than it is for a technician to bring germs in for the resident.
And so how do you facilitate a resident handling some of those responsibilities? So what's the procedure, or what do you recommend to get that started?
In this case, I don't think there can be a one-size-fits-all procedure. Instead, I think I tend to think of service distancing more as guidelines, meaning that different communities are going to have different tools available to them, and different residents on that side are also going to have different tools. And by tools, I don't mean screwdriver or hammer. I mean things like apps, FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, Facebook or Twitter or whatever messaging or communication methods we have, so that if a resident calls in a service request or sends us an email about a service request, maybe it is something we can walk the resident through over the phone or even using a face-to-face or video chat app to where for instance, if a valve is leaking underneath a faucet, the resident calls us and we end up being a face-to-face chat to where the resident points their phone at the valve, showing the technician what kind of valve it is, so the technician can walk the resident through turning that valve off so that it delays the damage or turns off the water to stop the damage before mm-hmm. maintenance has the ability to get there.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure one of the things we're going to talk about towards the end of this is how this is going to change the way we do things after the COVID-19 has disappeared and we're going back to whatever the new norm is in the world, because those are practices that could continue to be carried on to expedite things.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most intriguing things about that term of, you know, new norm, because our new normal today will probably change in 2-3 weeks to where then we'll be wondering what our old new normal was and how did we survive in the old new normal with this new. It's a fascinating thought study to listen to or think
all right,
of.
We've got to take a break. We will be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Talk.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of performing multifamily maintenance during COVID-19. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran and national educator Paul Rhodes, the national maintenance and safety instructor with the National Apartment Association. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Paul, we covered a lot, but one of the common things that people are having to deal with as far as residents on property is, you know, they rent their units at these beautiful properties because they have great amenities. But with this COVID-19, most of those amenities are not available. What are you seeing with all that? What are you recommending with amenity areas on properties?
Well, one of the first things that happened was almost instantaneously, the majority of properties shut down all indoor amenities. Things like gyms or basketball courts or anything like that, or office inner office areas, those were instantly shut down. And it's not so much the fact that the amenity itself is the dangerous thing, but it's the opportunity for transmission that the amenity affords. Mm-hmm. I think the only indoor amenity now that is being open and used in a limited sense is a laundry room, a common area laundry room. And what NAA and we're recommending is limited hours or being very intentional about how that laundry room is used. I've talked with owners that limit from certain times of the day. For instance, 9 to 10 in the morning is only for higher risk people to be into. Typically, that means our older residents or people who already have a pre-existing condition. It also may mean that we need to limit the number of people that are in there at any given time. So that's really where it's going.
And I know that, you know, prior to all this, this pandemic crisis that we're under. You know, I'm sure there was a schedule for most properties that when they would go in and clean the laundry room. What are you telling people as far as how do they need to respond if you are going to have a laundry room open, an amenity area where people go in and out of? How are you recommending that they clean or sanitize those areas?
Regularly and commute with a lot of communication, meaning I think it would be best for us to set up a schedule and we stick to it. In other words, where we let residents know we're going to clean our laundry room at 8 a.m., at 1 p.m., and at 5 p.m., and between 8 and 9, because that's the cleanest, between 8 and 9 is limited to a certain age or risk level. And we communicate that to our residents. That way, we're reassuring our residents that we are staying on top of it. It also might be a good idea to have a tissue dispenser or a paper towel dispenser in the laundry room so that if residents don't want to touch the machine, they can put a barrier between themselves and the controls. Basically, it's a lot of intentional thought and making sure that our residents are aware that we are being proactive.
How about swimming pools? You know, we're in the Sun Belt states. You know, you're approaching the time in the next few weeks when pools would typically open. You know, for the late spring and summer. What are you recommending that people do with their pool situations?
Ah, as somebody who, in my career, I've built and remodeled swimming pools. I have a particular affinity to swimming pools. I love them. Which is why I'm very glad to pass along the information. According to the CDC, swimming pool water will not transmit COVID-19 just with regular care and maintenance. But there is a hesitation in that's the water that we're talking about. Again, the problem with these amenities isn't the amenity itself. It's the opportunity to transmit the disease. I have talked with a couple of operators that are considering if this situation continues into the summertime, they're considering opening their swimming pools as normal, with the exception that they're going to remove all the pool furniture from around the pool. So that way residents can follow social distancing in the swimming pool water. But on the deck, there's no hard surfaces to allow that transmission to occur. So that's one option. And again, it's about being really intentional and thinking through the situation and what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, and that kind of makes sense too. You know, that I mean, this happened. You know, this crisis happened at a time that looks like it's going to extend into times when people would start using amenities and so forth. Anything about dog walks or dog parks or anything like that? Is there anything that you've heard from operators about that or what they're doing?
Well, it's as background there. According to the CDC, pets are not a danger regarding COVID-19 or where that's concerned. So from an operational standpoint, it boils down to doing what really is normal operating procedure. Check the garbage bins and make sure that everything is as clean as we can make it. And I think it's important to note that right now, with so many of our residents home for longer periods of time, their pets or their animals are going to become an even more psychological importance. So one way we can inform our residents of just how important they are to us is to make sure that their four-legged friends or however many legged friends they have are important to us as well.
Yeah, and I think it is, you're right, that the emotional support and so forth that people get from their pets, they're going to be spending a lot more time at home, so that's going to be important. And I want to talk for a minute about supplies. Supplies, You mentioned toilet paper being, obviously that's a shortage, but what about the supplies that our maintenance teams need to be able to do their daily jobs? I'm sure some of that is in short supply.
Yeah, talking with suppliers for that provide the repair materials and the safety equipment, some of it personal protective equipment that our technicians need, instantly they all sold out. A lot of the suppliers that feed the multifamily industry also feed hospitality and medical industry as well. So supplies like exam gloves and face masks, right now they're in short supply just because the demand went from being normal demand to off the charts demand. So a lot of our suppliers are sold out. The one message I can pass along from suppliers is if you need something, order it early. And don't fail to order it because you think it's out of stock, so there's no use. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. If you need something, order it. If it's out of stock, have it back ordered. Because, you know, supplies are still being made, they're still coming and restocking the warehouses. And when items like the exam gloves come back into stock, they're going to be sold or distributed on a first-come, first-served basis. In other words, if you're on the back order list, you have a greater chance of getting what it is that you need earlier. Right now, it's possible these items may not even hit the shelves in the warehouse.
Right, exactly. What about getting creative with supplies if you can't get them, if you do back order them and you don't have any at that moment? What about what are creative ways to do some things?
I think the creativity part is an important thing to keep in mind, especially in light of limited supplies. I kind of got a kick out of the Surgeon General making a craft video on the CDC website for how to take a T-shirt and make it into a face cloth. It's a great video, and it's a wonderful thing, but it really comes to mind of, you know, just how ingenious a maintenance technician can be with a little bit of supplies.
All right. Well, we do have to take a break. We are going to be back after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of performing multifamily maintenance during COVID-19. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran and national educator, Paul Rhodes, the National Maintenance and Safety Instructor with the National Apartment Association. You know, Paul, in that last segment, we were talking about supplies, how they're hard to get, creative ways of using them. But one of the things that I think is important is, what is the proper use of the supplies? Can you tell us, tell our listeners about that?
Oh, yeah. This is one thing that, unfortunately, it is a little bit too common in around apartment maintenance technicians, that we don't use the equipment properly or correctly. I mean, I gave the example earlier of having gloves on all day long, and really the gloves are just supposed to be one-time use, and after the immediate need is done, you safely remove the gloves, and by safely remove the gloves, you take them off in a specific way that doesn't allow for cross-contamination. I mean, if we're using gloves to keep the germ or disease or the soil away from our skin, but if you just grab the gloves and yank them off, then you're putting what's on the outside of the glove on your skin, so it kind of defeats the whole purpose.
Right.
So there are proper procedures, and there are many videos available on YouTube or social media on the proper method for donning and doffing those gloves correctly. Another thing that is commonly mishandled is the use of face masks. Right now, it's of particular importance with the need for face coverings being used. But, you know, when a technician dons or puts on a face mask, the only way that mask actually works, if we're looking for that mask to stop small particles from getting into our lungs, is to have a good seal between the mask and our skin. And if a technician is somebody like myself, that I have a goatee or I have facial hair, if that mask doesn't seal all the way to my chin, then it's not doing the job of protecting me that it was designed to do. Now, face coverings regarding COVID-19, those are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Because, again, the goal there is to keep the moisture that comes out of our mouth from reaching another person. And I'm fond of saying that, you know, where COVID-19 is concerned, the mask that protects me is actually the one that you're wearing. The mask that protects you is actually the one I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, and that does make sense. Let's talk about doing business in this new normal of working, you know, doing maintenance responsibilities during COVID-19. You know, one of the major things that a maintenance team does on a property, other than handling the emergencies, is turning the apartments when a resident moves out and preparing for the new resident to move in. What are some of the things that they need to remember about that?
Well, first, the CDC has published some studies on their website that talks about different surfaces will allow for the virus to live for different times. And to not get into the specific science, ultimately, it is possible for COVID-19 to live on some surfaces for up to 3 days. I've talked with a couple of operators, a couple of owners, that they have changed their policies to where if they get keys from a move out on Monday morning, their maintenance staff doesn't actually go in the apartment to begin that turnkey process for 3 days. In other words, they don't go in there until after Wednesday. Other management companies have changed their procedures to where before any maintenance is done in that or any of the turn process is done in that apartment, they clean it first. Then you do all the make-ready maintenance and painting and cleaning and floors and plumbing and repairs, and then you clean it again afterwards. I think that the key here is not only to be focused on the safety of our maintenance staff and our vendors that are going into that apartment, But in addition to that, when that apartment is leased, we need to make sure we're communicating to our new residents that their new home is already both clean and sanitized. And we need to communicate that through whatever our method is. I'm actually fond of using, like, if you go into a hotel, they put the paper strap across the toilet seats. That way, you know, as the new resident, if you will, of that hotel room, you know that toilet has been cleaned. It's that type of thing I think that we should be reassuring our brand new resident about the cleanliness in their home.
So, yeah, because you mentioned cleaning at the beginning of a make-ready or when you're turning an apartment. What is there a difference between cleaning and sanitizing?
Oh, great question, Paul. The CDC is very specific about it being a different thing. I love the analogy that, you know, if you've got a wad of garbage in your hand, that you can actually sanitize that garbage, you know, cover it completely with bleach or with hydrogen peroxide or with alcohol above the concentration that is required. So you can kill all the germs and pathogens and viruses on the outside of that garbage. But unless you clean the garbage off of your hand, all you have in your hand is germ-free garbage. So cleaning and sanitizing are two different things. According to CDC guidance, we're supposed to actually clean first, which not only does it remove, in this analogy, garbage, but it also removes the large portion of the disease. Mm-hmm. Sanitizing is supposed to be done after cleaning to kill the small quantity of pathogens that are left over. So it's important to realize there's two things that we have going on here. And sanitizing is not cleaning, nor is cleaning sanitizing.
So, you know, when you're have a new resident moving in, when you're doing a turning your apartments, everybody is sensitive to what's going on. It could be critical and of how things were handled, meaning that there's more eyes on what you're doing in these apartments. What do you suggest that operators tell their teams to make sure that they're sensitive to what they need to be doing?
Well, it boils down to having, like we kind of started out the show, everybody on the same page, with everybody having the same focus. And even if we have to have a scripted response to our new residents, to our existing residents, even amongst ourselves as the staff members, make sure that we are all aware of the heightened sense of just awareness that our residents have towards their own wellness and the danger that we all pose to each other by the continued transmission of this disease. And what that can mean is that when we're walking across the property, even if as a maintenance technician I'm carrying tools and parts, make sure that the parts and tools I'm carrying are clean. If they're dirty, make sure that residents have the sense that I'm going to take care of them correctly. All of that is seen. You know, perception is real. Perception in our residents, what they look out their windows, what they look at us and see us doing, it matters how they perceive us. So as maintenance technicians, that means we need to be professional. Maybe be sure that my shirt is always tucked in. I am as organized or as put together as I can on a regular basis. If it hasn't been done in a while, maybe clean up the outside of my truck or clean the maintenance golf cart if we have one of those. But perception matters. If I look unsanitary, then in my resident's mind, I'm unsanitary.
Yeah, that, as they say, you only get one chance to make a first impression, and you want that impression to be something that is favorable so that your residents know that and believe that you're doing everything you can to keep them safe as well as yourself. We got about 30 seconds before I want to transition. Give me your final thoughts on the topic as far as what is your major, you know, one or two, three points that you want people to take away from this discussion.
The biggest thing I think is that we all need to be on the same page. You know, our residents' lives right now are disrupted in the same way that our lives are disrupted. So this is an unprecedented, in my mind, for the apartment industry, it's an unprecedented event that everybody is living in a different, as we joked about earlier, new normal. So we all need to be aware that as a part of the human race, maybe we extend a little bit more grace to each other, a little bit more kindness to each other, a little bit more empathy to each other. And whether that's a maintenance technician doing a repair or talking a resident through things over the phone, that awareness can go a long way for once this event is over. We want our residents to stay with us in the same way that we're staying with them now.
All right. Well, I've got 30 seconds. Tell our listeners if they want to reach out to you to find out more, get some information about what NAA is recommending, how can they do that?
The best place right now for more information is on the National Apartment Association website, and that is at naahq.org. As a matter of fact, at the top of the page, there's a link specific to COVID-19 information. And on a personal level, the best way to see what I've got going on and other resources that I'm finding good is by finding me on LinkedIn.
All right, great. Well, Paul, thank you so much for being here. We definitely want to have you back on again soon. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.